Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise Jesus. Yes, I'm glad to be here. Once again, I thank God for this morning that I have an opportunity to celebrate another Independence Day in Uganda. There was a time I wasn't around, I wasn't yet born, but the fact that God has given me an opportunity to see the 60th Independence Day. One day, I'll be telling my grandchildren that on our 60th Independence Day, I hope I have a good story. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you happy to be in the house of God today? Amen. Sir, you're very welcome. Our first time visitor there, you are very welcome. Please clap for him. Once again, my name is Joanne and I'm not the pastor here. Before us right there is Pastor Moses Musinguzi. Some people call him Uncle Moses. Others call him Dr. Moses Bwango. He has two lovely daughters and a beautiful wife who just came and testified. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good. And all the time? And that is his? Wow. Yes. You have to say well to the things of God. And we have to always remember to pray for our leaders. Hallelujah. Some time back when I was talking about leaders and their influence, I used the example of Mordecai and Haman and how that personal feud quickly accelerated into the annihilation or the supposed annihilation of the Israelites, the Jews. It's amazing that when I was thinking about it this time round, in the light of what has been happening in our nation and the things that have been reported over and over on news about, you know, so-and-so says this, then the other nation says that. I'm like, man, yeah, this is why we should pray for our leaders all the time. Because you can't imagine that at that time, the Jews, Haman wanted Mordecai to bow down to him. He wanted the Jews to bow down to him. And it's so possible that some Jews were bowing down to Haman out of fear. But Mordecai, like I said, Yamwe Simba Mnagamba, I'm not going to bow. But likewise, I think there are some Jews also at that time who are saying, but Mordecai, I think you're taking these things a bit too far. What would happen if you bow down before Haman? Tochi Susa, you know? And then eventually, you know what the Jews went through, and you know what ended up happening was they had to fight. The king could not undo what he had already said was going to happen. So this nation, he told them, now I'm giving you permission to go ahead and fight. Can you imagine? They had to fight for their lives, and God gave them victory. But all that came from, we know that God was using this, yeah, to protect his people. But all this came from a feud. Imagine, the king never knew what was going on between Haman and Mordecai until it was brought to him. But it had such deep impact on the Jews that they were all going to die. Okay? So, what does that show us, you and I? We should always pray for our leaders. Some of us, while we stay, bringing that example back home, while we stay, you may never see development because leader X doesn't talk, is in the opposition or doesn't talk well to leader Y. And no single tarmac will ever hit your road. And those things happen. They happen. Yeah? So you have to pray for your leaders. You have to pray for your leaders. We must pray. And not only when a nation is in a crisis. You know, we like to pray during times of crisis, suffering. But we should always, 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 it's important for us to pray. Even when we are the happiest, even at Christmas, please continue to pray for the leaders. And especially maybe, like Dennis prayed here, in this decade, things have been said that, you know, are going to accelerate, I don't know. But let us continue to pray for our leaders. Glory to God. Do not give up. Don't only pray when it's Independence Day. Don't only sing that song when it's Independence Day. Just continue to pray for the leaders. It's so, so important. They determine the roads that go to your place. They determine your neighborhood sometimes, you know. They determine so many things. Security. Though you'll even hear stories like, so-and-so stays in that place, so it must be secure. But that is not how God intended things to be. God intended that we live in peace and security, and we are secure. But not only when a specific leader is in a specific place. Will you see electricity? Will you see power? Will you see roads? That is not the way it is supposed to be. Your job and my job is to pray for our leaders. Glory to God. Yes. So that is not what I'm going to preach about. I don't have an Independence Day sermon. But we thank God for these 60 years. I'm going to continue with what I started on last week. Blessings turning into idols. And eventually they turn into curses. We know that in the year of the Lord, 2022, people in LAT are blessed of God. Glory to God. You are blessed. I hope you know that. I hope you know that your families are blessed. I hope you know that if you haven't yet experienced your blessing, you will experience it. Hallelujah. I hope you know that for sure. And God doesn't want us to turn those blessings into idols. And last week, we looked at idols as anything that will take God's place in your heart. Anything that absorbs your imagination. Anything that you seek more than God. And then we also say that these blessings, these idols, do not start out being bad. They eventually turn into bad things, but they don't start out being bad. God never gives you anything bad. God will bless you. All the blessings of God are good. They are perfect. Hallelujah. They cause you no sorrow. All the blessings of God are good. And it's amazing that whether or not you are aware of them, they are there and they are good. And you see, God doesn't bless you on the basis that you acknowledge the blessing. If it was that, then I do not know how many blessings I would have. Maybe there will be a handful. Because in my mind, in my capacity, I'm able to identify a few blessings. God has blessed me so, so much with blessings I don't even, my mind can't even understand. Glory to God. But it doesn't mean that God is only going to bless you for, you've acknowledged me for this, so I'm going to bless. God blesses. God is a God of blessing. But he never intended that these blessings become idols. And last week we looked at Exodus 20, 3 to 4. We are going to put that up again and reread it. Yeah. You shall not have other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not have other gods before me. And last week we said, what does before God mean? It means anything in his presence. Not just anything first, then God comes second. There is that. But anything in his presence, meaning God doesn't even want any other god after him. That means that he wants to be our only God. Not the top God. Glory to God. Not the top God. Not the God number one. But the only God. The only God we worship. Hallelujah. I believe that this message is so in tune and in season for us as LAT. Why? Because as human beings, we are susceptible to idol worship. As human beings, we are susceptible to just, we are prone to turning the blessings of God into idols. And sometimes we are not even aware that we are doing these things. Sometimes, because we are used, when you talk about idolatry, you're used to seeing a carved image. You're used to thinking about something that is expressly an idol that you know, okay, that is a cult. There is, you know, there is water there, there is this. But human beings, sometimes you don't even know that we have small shrines in the temple of our hearts. And those shrines, how do they begin? They may never ever begin, because they may never begin with a carved image. And you know what the devil does? He has always wanted to have something that can replace the worship of God in your life. Something. And it does not have to be evil. It doesn't have to be evil. So for you and I, you see, when he sees that you are being blessed, he starts to strategize for you in that very blessing. He will come. He will come. He will fetch you. He will come for you. So, because of that, I felt God cautioning me about these things. Just like he did for the Israelites. Now, when they had just crossed the Jordan and they were at Mount Sinai, the very first thing he tells them is, you shall not have any other God. Any other God other than me. And this is a God who is planning to bless them in their promised land. But why is it important? Why doesn't he tell them, you shall not have wars? Why doesn't he tell them, you shall not have... God is a jealous God. And he knows that eventually idolatry will cause us to go away from him. And for you and I, we shall end up in hell. And that very blessing that God gave you starts to be sorrowful. Glory to God. Amen. Let's look at Ezekiel 14, verse 3. This is where idolatry, the Bible tells us that idolatry is in our hearts and it causes us to sin. He says, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Last week we looked at this and I stopped there and I intended to stop there. But now listen, and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Today we are going to see that idolatry causes us to stumble into iniquity. Where are these idols? In our hearts. And you know what? They cause us to stumble into iniquity. They cause us to sin. Other versions are very clear that they cause them to sin. But where is this idol? In your heart. Think about some of the blessings that God has given you. Favor. You know, it's so difficult. There is a time I think I was doing some work and were given a question and I was telling Sam that, the course is becoming too tight. They were given work and were told one of the questions was, write an obituary about yourself. It wasn't ideology. Like an obituary about yourself. And then they said, the question was long. Do not, in your obituary, do not write things you hope to have achieved, you think you will achieve. Just write like what you have done now, our worry. That question took me so long to answer because I'm like, is this how it's going to end, Joanne? When I read this thing, is this what I want? So it caused me to look into my heart. And they're saying, be honest. Just be honest with yourself. Be honest. So I told God, what am I going to write? So the reason I brought that up is searching your heart is so difficult. And unless the Lord helps you, that is why I think David prayed and said, search my heart, O God. Because it's just so difficult to search your heart. It took me so long to finish that question, and I don't even know what my score will be. But whatever I wrote, I hope God is like, okay, yes, J.H.D., Joanne J.H.D. Otherwise, I might have written nonsense, and God is like, huh? You did what for me? You think you are doing that for me? I don't want that to be, I don't want God to be reading those things, and he's like, you're a joker. So, searching our hearts is so, so difficult. And that is why it's difficult for you sometimes to know that you are to detect idolatry in your life. It's so difficult, especially, you know, when someone says, tells you those things of have faith, what, imagination, tambla mkama chaku what day, all those things are good, yeah, but make sure that you don't choose our glory to God. And if you have your heart open, he'll be able to tell you, no, this is just not okay. Colossians 3:5 talks about coveting. It talks about coveting, covetousness that leads to idolatry. Therefore, put to death the members which are on earth. So they mention all these things. And the last thing is covetousness, which is idolatry. We live in a world that is so full of excessiveness that having one thing is not enough. Having one toy, the cars for men who are here, having one toy, scoring one goal is not enough. You have to score two. You have to score three. You have to score five. At six, even when you see that your opponent is really down, there's no time for recovery. I've seen football fans that even in the very last minute, bagala kuingiza out the seventh goal. And you're like, but in the last minute, do you really think that Arsenal can play so hard and do all the six goals, all the seven, you know, the seven? No. But we live in a society that promotes excessiveness. Yeah. Excesses of everything. Now, these things are blessings. But how is it that you get one thing today and then tomorrow you want another thing? The same thing that you actually have. Katwagaya choose some. I know some people who are technology freaks. And God can bless you with an iPhone. Glory to God for us who own iPhones. God blesses you with an iPhone. Before you know it, there is a system in the U.S. that is telling you, that iPhone needs to be upgraded. Technically, your phone has no problem. It can still receive calls. It can still, you know, send money, glory to God, LAT. You can use it to tithe. You can use it to give on, like, you know, you can use it as a blessing. But someone out there in the U.S., in Washington, in New York, comes and tells you, there is something else here. And you're like, now I want another phone. Yet God blessed you. So now your finances and everything around you starts beating for that thing. There's a time I was watching a program. I think I remember sharing this with Dennis. I was so shocked. It's called The Incredible Dr. Paul. The guy, the vet doctor who treats pets, animals, and things like that. So I'm watching this program, and in comes this Muzungu holding their pet, a pig, a very fat pig. So they come in. That program is so interesting. There are all kinds of pets. There are ducks. There are animals that I don't, a sloth, yeah? That's also a pet, for you know? So these guys come in, and they are holding their what? Their pig. So the doctor asks, what's wrong with the pig? And they're like, you know, the pig hasn't been eating well. And me, I'm surprised, like, how can a pig not eat well? It hasn't been eating well. It hasn't been sleeping. What? And the pig man was, you could really see, Bambi, this pig, eh? But it was so big that they had to carry it like two people, yeah? So this pig was so huge, fat, eh? And it's just there moving, yeah? So the incredible Dr. Paul checks it. And then, you know that diagnosis? It was overfed, it is overweight. The pig was so fat that it wasn't, you know, the eyes, it couldn't even see. Because now the owners thought that this pig had a problem with the sight. But kumbe, it was too fat that the eyelids, it couldn't even see anymore. And so Dr. Paul tells the owners of the pet, you guys, please stop overfeeding the pig. And I told Sam, but what kind of excessiveness is this that a pig overfeeds? A pig. Here we say you're eating like a pig. If I want to abuse you so much, I'll say, oh, young and busy. Yeah? But out there is a pig that is overfed. Now, in this life, in this society, we live in a world where there are just excesses. These things are blessings of God. But God never wants us to have such excesses. Like you, your life, ngakwegamba, you're like that pig. Yeah? Too overweight, you can't even, you are, you know? So I think I told Dennis, I'm like, me, I don't know what's happening in this world, but an overweight pig is another story. Okay? So God doesn't want us to turn these blessings into idols. And I pray that as we go through, I have like 2-3 points now. I pray that as we go through this, we shall be introspective. Look into your heart and ask God to help you. Because it's only God who can help you get rid of that idol. But it starts with you going to him and saying, Mukama, nyamba. You can idolize a promise that God has given you. It is all you think about. You can idolize your family. These things are blessings. So I'm not even telling you to love your children less. No. God tells you, love. Yeah? Have no debt apart from that of love. But where you love your children to the point that they take the place of God, that is now where God comes and is like, your job. God blesses you with a job and you idolize it. Your house, your car, think about any blessing that God has promised you, any blessing that you're experiencing, and ask yourself a few questions. Hallelujah. Amen. And we talked about how do we detect idols in our lives. The very first thing we talked about was we begin to neglect the disciplines. I mean, to be a twakolanga, to keep us close to God. You begin to neglect your Bible study. You begin to neglect your prayer time. All of a sudden, it becomes boring. All of a sudden, the worship song that you used to sing, you used to use your voice to bless the Lord, but now you feel like, it is boring. Njagalamuka beat. Glory to God, worship team. Njagalamuka beat, and that beat is not of God. Bible tells us, set your heart on things above. Colossians 3:2. Set your heart on things above, not on the things of this world. Hallelujah. Then you also begin to, one of the other ways to detect idolatry is that you start to neglect relationships in the body of Christ. This is so important. God made us to be interdependent. The day you start to think that, that person who takes me to church, now you see the phone call coming through and you're like, she's going to ask if I went to church. She's going to ask, man, watch out. Do not give up the habit of meeting with believers. We also talked about what your desires are like. What do you desire? What makes you stay up at night? What is the thing that you desire so badly? And when we're talking about this, I say, do not over-spiritualize things here. If you, just be honest with yourself, be honest with God, and say, for me, God, really, this is what I desire. Don't say, about God, you give me 100K, you know I'll give LAT 10K. No, totulimba. And do not lie to God. Say, God, give me 20 million. You see, of that 20 million, you know, that is how we try to convince God. Or even the 20 million. Me, I will tithe like 2. Then after tithing like 2, I'll bless people like with 5. Man, if you want money, just say, God, for me, I'm staying awake because I want money. Yeah? I'm staying awake because I want this. What are your desires like? You realize that they are in. Where your desire is the place that you will most likely compromise. It's the place that you will most likely stumble into iniquity about. Why would the devil tempt you over something you don't like? Why? Aba malamanda. Okay? It's pointless for the devil to tempt you over things you don't like because he knows he won't get your attention. But for the things that you like, he will tempt you. For those things that God has blessed you with, things, something you've been praying to God about, God, help me, what? Then God is like, okay, my daughter, my son, here, have it. There. Let me look no further about where you stumble from. There. That very thing that you desire is a place where you'll be tempted. And you'll be tempted to put that desire above God. The Bible tells us that we should seek first the kingdom of God. That is one way to help yourself not to go beyond, not to cross the line. Seek God first, even in the blessing. Do not forget him. Seek God first about it. If it is a family, if it is a husband, if it is a job, put God first. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you so much, Sam. Sam is the only one who has said amen. Hey, let's see. I didn't hear you. At least I didn't hear Geraldine. Then the last thing I talked about last time was, look at the way you spend your money. Do you want to detect idolatry in your life? Look at the way you spend your money. Look at those things that you're willing to go in debt for. Hallelujah. Men, hallelujah. Men are the ones who usually get into trouble with money. Yes. So, what are those things that you spend your money on? Look at them. You see, if this was a financial seminar or conference, and I'm telling you 5 ways of being prosperous, then I say, look at the way you spend your money. You guys would run and scribble that down. But now I'm telling you that look, for you to detect idolatry, look at the way you spend your money, and everyone is like this. So, Luke 16:13. No servant can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon, which is money. One of the ways I discovered to keep money, the voice of money, down is by sharing it, is by giving, is by tithing, because those are things that keep, they protect your heart, from that insatiable hunger for more and more money and more money. Sometimes, by the way, I give money, or I give just so to, like kaneyambe. I'm not even thinking about blessing the other person, but I'm like, if I find myself, so whatever, I don't money, I'll say, let me give it out, because I don't want it to have a hold on me. That works for me. It really helps me to keep things in perspective. So you cannot serve 2 masters at the same time. What do you spend your money on? What are you willing to go in debt for? If someone came and told you, now this and this and this, for some of us, for some parents, I know it could be great schools for their children, okay? For others, it is a car. Now for you, who they have told spend, keep aside money. And those things are not bad, by the way. There is a lot of wisdom in them. Keep aside money they have calculated for you. So by the time your son, your daughter is 18 and they are going into university, you'll have amassed this much. We have put even the cost of inflation. I think it's education insurance or something like that. We have even involved the cost of inflation. Man, you may think you're holier than someone who gets that money and goes and buys a dress. But if you're going to be controlled, by that desire to save, to work, and you're going to be controlled, yet God is the one who has given you these things. God is the one who has given you the money. So I'm talking about 2 brothers or sisters who are both blessed of God with money. Now one decides to say, you know what, I'm going to share, I'm going to save, but I'm not going to hold more than I should have. Then for you, you're investing in stocks. You're in education insurance. Then you're buying land there. Then you're not sharing your kamane with anybody. Let me tell you something. Be very careful that money that God is blessing you with is not becoming what? An idol. And like I said, please hear me. These things are not bad. It is good for you to save. It is good for you to buy your cars, to invest in stocks and bonds. It's good for you to do those things. But also, when we say land fund, in LAT. Please, wire some money. Yeah? Glory to God, LAT. Some have done your job. So, today, we are going to just talk about two more things. This list, these things are not exhaustive. They are by no means, they're not exhaustive. Yeah? I'm just giving you things that I think are pointers to helping us to detect idolatry in our lives. The other thing is, think about who do you desire to please the most? Who do you desire to please the most? Now, it's amazing that the way God made human beings, he made us in such a way that we seek approval. And by the way, seeking approval is not bad. Glory to God. Seeking approval from your boss is not bad. Seeking approval from your pastor is not bad. Seeking approval from your spouse, your children. Yes, seeking approval from my husband is not bad. So we are made, why? By the way, it is because we seek approval that sometimes we are motivated to work hard. If you know that there is no approval at the end of something, why should you work hard? Okay? So God made human beings in such a way that we must be motivated by that thing. But that thing should not take the place of God, your quest for approval. You know, we belong to many... let me just go to the scripture. Proverbs 29:25. We will seek approval usually from people we highly esteem, from people we fear, from people we want to be in good books with. Okay? Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And there is sometimes a people we seek approval from, we end up fearing, by the way. You can find that you have a good fear for your boss. There is good fear and there is bad fear, okay? It's more than just reverence, but you actually fear. I'll tell you for a fact that, like for me and my dad, yes, I respect him, but there is a thing in me that, mutia, I fear him, eh? It could be an elder sibling. It could be that very tough auntie. Yeah? I have an auntie who, yay! And that doesn't equate, fear of man doesn't equate to respect, by the way. Yeah? You may fear someone, but not respect them. Maybe you fear them because they are boisterous, because of the things they say, because they threaten you in some way. But it doesn't mean that you fear them. Okay? God tells us to only fear him. All right? So, when we start to fear men, when we start to want to, when we desire to please and to be approved of men, and we start to fear them, by the way, that alone, I want to spend some time talking about the fear of man and how that can lead you into idolatry. Okay? We belong to, how many of us have so many WhatsApp groups that we belong to? People are not putting up. Lydia. Yes, they are, even if it's one or two, and they even have Christian names, very spiritual names, dream seers, givers, men of repute. You know, there are so many WhatsApp groups out there, Facebook groups, parent groups, okay? We belong to them. These groups are good. They give us information. They are very good because, like I said, we were born. God made human beings in such a way that we desire to be part and to be approved and to be part of people. You're not meant to live alone. So that is why even when you do not approve of that in-laws car group, you somehow you're there. They put you there. Yeah? In-laws of, hey, so-and-so, yeah? Or sisters-in-law, brothers-in-law, what, you know? Or whichever family group you belong to. Now, these groups are not bad. But let me tell you what is going to happen. That on these groups, you can find yourself afraid to stand up and speak. Because you're like, you just fear. There is a fear like, What will they say? What will they think? Yeah? There is a group that I was added to some time back. It was a primary school group. Now, I don't remember most of my primary school. I don't have a good memory. But somehow I found myself on that group. And so I'm like, but you know how you look through the pictures, you're like, who is this? You can, because people have changed, in my primo or B, I, you know, people who belong to Nakasero group, I'm like, what? You are 40 something years and you are on the Nakasero group, the Budo group. If you went to three schools, you are on all those groups. Nakasero, Budo, SMAC, then you're on the one of university, then the one at your workplace, then the men at your workplace, so the ladies at Kwegamba groups is so ninji. Yeah? So, and I couldn't, like, the very first, like, five people, I couldn't recognize them, and I just exited that group. By the way, did you know that you can now, on WhatsApp, you can exit a group silently? Yes, you can. But the catch is the administrator will know that you have exited. But now things have changed. Nowadays you don't just exit and everyone sees what has exited. But now you can exit, but the admin will know because they are most likely the one who added you there. Yeah? So they'll know that you have exited. But at least it is more silent than before. Okay? So when I saw that thing on WhatsApp, I'm like, very quickly I went back and I'm like, which group now can I exit silently in my phone? And fortunately there was no group, but I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for if someone adds me, I'm like, there I'll exit. So you're on these groups and they post things. Now for us who are born again, you're there on that group. Then they post something about Kakande. They don't care. But someone posts something about Kakande, Oba Abizayu, and then they start on you. But the whole day, they are giving born agains. They are giving born agains. And you know what you will do? Because you fear to stand out. You fear that they will say that you're identified. You fear that someone will call you out. So what do you do? You just keep quiet. Or you, at best, post something abstract that is not selling you, but is also not telling people where you fall. So you just post like even like a verse there. Eh? Sometimes you don't even complete the verse. You post and you put da, 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 da. You're like, And guess what? When they are so much on your case, then there are those people who will even tag you and say, at Bob Asimwe, this kawan. The moment you sing, you've been tagged. You know what you'll do? Murife. Yeah? For those of you who know Murife, they'll start saying, Mlokole todduka, Mlokole, Mlokole todduka, Mlokole, come and say something. Mlokole, please. Bob, come and say something. Dennis, come and say something. And you're like, but me, I don't want to be involved in this thing. So you are running. And it's amazing that on those groups, but let me tell you something about those groups, that the people who are so vocal may not even be a handful. And there are so many Christians who know the truth, like the number of Christians who know and stand for the truth, far outweigh the people who are making the noise on the group. But because they are so loud, they are like those dogs that were chasing Murife. Who knows? Who has seen that Murife thing? Pastor, have you seen it? Okay, for the sake of people who haven't seen that, Murife is this guy who, somewhere in Kenya, who is being chased by two small dogs like Kaya and Zazu. Small dogs like this. And the guy is running. And then there are two women women in the background who are saying, Murife, don't run! Murife, don't run! And the guy is scattering. So I think I got to know that thing the last time there was a football match. Apparently, there was some guy who was, the people who are Manu was Murife. And then they depicted the team that beat Manu as the small dogs. And then Manu is running. And say, Murife, don't run. Murife, don't run. So sometimes the people who are so vocal are not necessarily many. And that is what's happening right now in the LGBT community. Worldwide, in the whole world, that community, they are a handful like this. They are more than people who are not, who don't subscribe to their beliefs. But guess what? Those guys are vocal. Eh? They shout and everyone just coils like this. Mm? They are the two barking dogs. And the rest of us, Murife. Mm? So, because we fear people, we are in these groups, you fear people, you can't even stand up for the truth. You can't even, you know, sometimes, by the way, on the fear of people, it gets so bad that the reason I wanted to spend time on this is I realize that the fear of man can cause you to, it can determine the decisions you make. Fear of man can take the place of God, because you see, instead of you seeking God and asking him what you should do, the fear of man will cause you, the fear of, what will they say? What will they, you know? It will cause you to be like, let me. Then you start okwebuza kubantu instead of seeking what people will think, instead of God. I think particularly I remembered when the Mujimbas were transitioning their children from a school, the other school of 8 to 5, where children have to go home to school, into homeschool. One of the things that Christine was asked, like she was concerned about, was the questions they are going to ask me. What are they going to? And Dennis was like, for me, if God has said it, we are going to do it. And Christine was like, Bana Gambachi, what will they ask me? Now, all of us have been there. Where are you? You find yourself wondering, but what will they say? What will they, you know? Sometimes God tells you to do something, but because you fear what people are going to say, you're like, I'm kama sija chukola. I'm sorry. Okay? And God doesn't want that. God blesses you, tells you, Teddy, I'm giving you a car, and I want you to give it out. You're like, you're like, my father is going to start yalagawe motoka. Eh? He's going to start naye mwabalokole. He's going to say, oh man, eh? You're like, no, I cannot. Maybe I will tell him that I dealt it. Eh? Maybe I will tell him. Like, you know all those things. But the fear of people, the desire for approval, it will be a snare to you. And guess what? It will lead you into iniquity. And sometimes we pay too much for the sin. We put down a very big payment for just small things. All right? It could even be as simple as God has spoken to you about who to get married to. But you look at the person, you think about your auntie. You think about your father. You think about your mom. And you're like, they told me not to bring a Muganda here or a Munyankole here. You know, I remember before I got married, my mom told me that tribes that are acceptable and those that are not, you guys. Every time someone would approach me, I'd be like, how do I take this one home? How do I take this one home? Okay? Then this thing of tribalism is just too much that people really fear, yeah? I know of someone who got married to another person from a different tribe, and even their father never walked the girl down the aisle. Never. But the girl and the boy being born again were like, for us, we are going ahead with this thing. All right? So the fear of people can make you really change. And the funny thing is that even when you bring the acceptable tribe, let me put that in quotes, even when you bring the acceptable tribe, there is no guarantee that you'll have a happy marriage. There is no guarantee. But let me tell you something that I have seen over the years, even as a married person, that the people that they despise, if they fear God, let me tell you, when you take that person home and you, like really insist and get married against all that tide of relatives, what your parents have told you, and you follow God's instruction, God always exalts that person. God always exalts that person. I know of someone who was really despised because Bambi, that guy, when he was dating this lady, he used to wear maybe about one shirt. So they used to call him the one shirt guy. That guy was broke. Eh? He used to be called the one shirt guy. Say, oh, yes, yeah, eh? Now, you know, thankfully, maybe not thankfully, but I don't have sisters. But this person had many sisters. So the sisters would be there in the window. Until your mom later, every sister has their boyfriend. But when this guy would turn up, they would say, hey, that one shot, he has come. Even no serving him water. Yeah? They just, what? They just go. But right now as we speak, they pay homage to the one shot guy. Why? Because God exalted that one shot guy in this family. All those guys who made it, or who seem to be all that, are now nowhere. And Munange, this guy is the young one. But like Sam says, when yemuko ngoli mutongo inesente, it is you they call forward. Yeah, they will say, for example, if I'm not going to use Sam. Paul. Let's say Paul is the young one, the young muko, who got married into this family and is the one who has money. The way things happen is they will say, Paul and your other in-laws come. Meanwhile, there is Mark who is older and he was even the first one in that family. But they will say, Paul, please, come, please lead all. You guys, I saw this at a burial. Hmm? Yeah, we saw this and Sam was like, ah, Neman is sweet. They called our friend, young, was even about almost the second last in-law to join the family. Yeah? The last. Man, well, at the burial, people are there mourning. What? They said, I'll give him the name Mark. Mark and the in-laws, Nabasa Jabona, please come. So Mark came and he was leading the... And I'm like, hey! And of course, you stand there, people are mourning. He was the first one to speak on the microphone. Mark, what do you have to say? A young guy like this, yeah? So everyone is saying, Manange, we thank God, they are there. We thank God, Mark built the house for our mother. We thank God. These ones are all there like this. The old ones are there like this. Mark, the young one, is speaking. Okay? So mine is sweet. Glory to God. Having it is sweet, yeah? So, I don't even know how I ended up there. How did I end up there? I don't know. But let's not fear. In-laws, yes, I was talking about in-laws. Please, do not fear. If God has told you to do something, you do it. God will exalt you. God will validate the decision you took. Yeah? There are people that waited on komu omwavu. Like there's a common saying in Uganda, I forget how it goes, where they say omko mugaga is the one who makes people stay longer muluja. Why? Because the muko, the in-law who is rich, will make people stay in the compound longer than the poor one. This saying is used usually at functions. And then they say, why is it so? Because the rich muko brings so many things that everyone else you just have to stand and say, enyama, matoke, emotoka. Oh, and then when you're poor, 1, 2, 3, tuganda tunye mere, you're summarized. you're summarized there. Tuganda tunye mere, tell you kutuluisa, muluja. When you're broke, there's nothing to speak for. But the muko who is rich, even the soda will be spoken for. Even the mineral water, gana amazi. Oh, it's just water meanwhile. It goes. Geba what? Umbrella. A rich muko will make people stay much longer than a broke one. The broke one, summary, time to go to munda tulie mere. And then you hear things that unfortunately maybe parents, our in-laws, our aunties say very unpleasant things sometimes. But we should not fear to obey God. Hallelujah. So the fear of man, like I've explained to you, supplants the fear of God. Our concern for public opinion, what will my family say? The fear of people can make you go silent. I explained to you, if you don't run, if you don't do murife, you'll just keep quiet. It'll be like you never existed. And then you will most likely obey the person who you want approval from or who you desire a reward from. Now, that place is a place of God. But there's times when people just want that reward from someone and they'll do things. The easiest example I can give is like maybe politicians and, you know, the leader. They will do things because they want a leader's reward. And that is what will move them. That is what will cause them to make decisions. But that is not what God wants us to do. Remember, God is the rewarder. If your reward doesn't come from that person you think should be rewarding you, it will come from God. And let me tell you something. I have tested a little of the reward of God. Oh, it is nice. It is better. It is far much better than if a human being rewarded you. Glory to God. It is far much better. And even if it's, it may not even be money. It could be health. It could be whatever it is. But the reward of God is far much better than the reward of man. They can reward you with a car today. And just as you drive out of the parking lot, bang, before you know it, an accident. But when God rewards you with protection, you will drive on that road in your small car, but you'll be so happy. That kind of reward that enriches the heart, that keeps you joyful, is the reward from God. Glory to God. Amen. Let us look at an example in the Bible of someone who, a very unlikely character, who feared people. And when I read this, I was so amazed that, if this person could fear people, then who am I? Galatians 2:11-14. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James who would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in a man of the Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? This was very unlikely. Peter is the guy. Let me first tell you what had happened. Peter is the guy who, according to Acts, got a vision from heaven, clarifying doctrine, saying that now the Gentiles can also access salvation. Okay? And then he said, and in the, God appears to this guy. You people, if, I thought about Peter and I'm like, this thing is very serious. Peter receives this vision. It clarifies that now the Gentiles don't have to first live like Jews. They don't have to go through the Moses' law first to attain salvation. He said, now all of you are heirs of salvation. He receives a very important message from God that clarifies doctrine. That is why you and I are standing here, by the way, and we can even say that we are born again. If it wasn't for that vision that Peter received. Fast forward. Peter goes, as usual, to have a meal, eat with believers. And then guess what happens? I'm just giving you the backstory of this. Then guess what happens? Of course, during that time when they were having these meals, it was also the time when they would break the bread, the one that would have Holy Communion and celebrate and remember the body of Christ. So, in this particular incident, Peter goes, and he's going to eat with these guys. But there was a certain group of people who are called the people of James. These were guys who, the people from James, the guys who believed that for any Gentile to access salvation, they have to first do obutukirivu bwa the Jews. They have to be, they were of the circumcision. And like then, Peter was told, remember, this is a person who was told in the vision that there is no unclean thing, okay? So you can all eat together. Now here, you seem to see him, when he sees these guys coming from James, he is scared. So I'm like, but why was he scared? Did he think that these guys, like what kind of people could shake Peter that much? A man who received the vision from heaven. So I started wondering about, but what nature of men scared people, scared Peter to that degree? And when you read, they will say that these guys were prestigious. They were influential at that time in the body of Christ. They were really influential people. That, Peter sees them and is like, Neda, not today. Today, let us first go back. Forget heavens. At that time, the vision wasn't, it wasn't valid. He'd say, no, now I cannot what? I don't want to be seen with you. I don't want to eat with you. Can you imagine Peter? Who, after, by this time, by the way, the Holy Spirit, it was even after Pentecost, meaning even these Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost. They had spoken in tongues, as in the Lord had poured out his Spirit upon the people who were born again. So Peter knew very well what he was doing. But when he sees these guys, he's like, not today. Not today, not today. And guess what? He not only does that, but what his action caused. The Bible tells us here that, go to 13. Yes, I'm looking for 13. And the rest of the Jews also played hypocrite. So not only did Peter go alone, but even went with some Jews. Glory to God. Glory to God. This guy goes not only, can you imagine? You see what the fear of men can do? He not only takes himself, but also goes with some Jews. And then now it says that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Let me tell you something. Barnabas is the same person who stood beside Paul. After Paul had received the visitation from the Lord, Barnabas is the one who held Paul's hand, took him to Peter and said, this guy has received a vision. He is now converted. So Barnabas' testimony was, he was a good man. He was a man of faith. That's what the Bible says. He was a good man, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas' testimony was legit about Paul. But now, see what happens. First of all, Peter goes, Barnabas is like, even me. Then before you know it, even the Jews were like, you know one way. Can you imagine? Just imagine if, do you see what I'm talking about? The fear of man, wanting to be approved. Maybe these influential guys, it could have been four influential people, powerful. But they managed to change the state of affairs to even changing the word of God. Okay? So the desire, when we put the desire for approval, the desire to be liked before God, we shall start to fear men in the place of God, and that will happen. Okay? You can easily lead people off of the path. Why? Because you're not standing for the truth. Then Paul is like, no, Bambi, this is not going to happen. The Bible says, he addressed Peter before, I say to Peter, before them all. He didn't call him aside and say, brother, come out. Before all of them. Why? Because for him, this is the reason. Because for him, it was compromise about the truth of the gospel. It wasn't compromise about the sitting arrangement at the table. It wasn't compromise about what food they were eating. It wasn't compromise about hosting. It was a matter of the gospel. Glory to God. So when we fear people, when we want approval that much, let me tell you, you will compromise. You will compromise the gospel of Christ. Glory to God. And that should show you the thing. What are you ready? Who do you want to please? Who do you fear most? That will show you who your God is. If you are willing to compromise to that extent. It happened to Peter. It can happen to any of us. And you see these things, they are, it's not a one day thing, like you have to continually, I learned that there is a difference between continuously and continually. You have to continually look into your heart and make sure that you make a decision every day not to enthrone anything above God. This guy was born again, like you and I. A prophet! Yeah? If we had Peter in this modern day, he would be a prophet. By the way, no, we would even, maybe some people would even worship him. A prophet. Ah, that time he compromised. And Paul said, no, this is not going to happen. That is what the fear of man can do. We are still talking about how to detect idolatry. Who do you desire to please? Who do you fear the most? Who do you want a reward from? When you answer those questions, you'll know. Then the last thing is the way you spend your time. God has blessed us with time. Glory to God. We shall never have any other 60th Independence Day in Uganda. God has given us time as the biggest resource, one of the biggest resources. And I keep telling my children how you spend your time, who you spend it with, what you spend it doing, determines where you'll be tomorrow. How do you spend your time? Mulokole. We get, you know, some of these sermons, they sound very, like they are amateur, like amateurish, or they are for novices, for not for people like you, Eleti, Mula, Baby Roto, you're up there. Eh? But let me tell you something. We are susceptible to this thing. What you will, the God you will worship will demand your time. The God you worship, you will demand your time. That blessing can consume you. It can take your time. And time will not be given back. It is gone. It is gone. So how do you spend your time? And like I said, these things are not bad. For you to go and watch Netflix, going for an exotic vacation, reading whichever book on self-development, Abachala, self-care. How can I forget that kawan? Self-care time. Mamcation. Which other one is there? Mamcation. For you, you're always on mamcations. Now even now, men, there is nowadays, I keep telling my brothers, Abasaja, Ebanaguz Nobaka Abanyo. We are being suppressed. We also want man cave. Our fathers never said those things. They hardened. But nowadays, a man of today, we are stressed. We need time off also. But we need what, like they are always crying. Yeah? So I was telling my brothers, Naemwe, you men. Also you style up, harden ko. So what do you spend your time doing? Sometimes people do things. You know, there is something called midlife crisis. This is when, you know, when you spend your time thinking about, what have I achieved? What haven't I achieved? Well, you know, you will enter midlife crisis. Let me tell you, yet God tells you that he is in charge of all your seasons, that he will bless you in every season. But now you're there. Well, I'm 45. You have read some article there and now on the Nakasero group, Nakasero Primo group. Some guy wakes up in the morning and posts some weird article. Man, by 45, you should have this. And then when you read, you do not tick any of the things on the list. You'll be like, Mzendabi. Yet you have a promise from God. What God has given us time. And it's not bad for us to. Time is good. Time is life. You know that. If anything happened today, that's it. Your time on earth will just be that cadot, that line between 2 years. You're out of here. Okay? Time is a very, very, it's a blessing. It's a good resource. And more so, if it is spent well, it is so good. If time is spent well, it will be a blessing. But now, you're there on mamcation. What's it called? Mamcation, about what? You guys, you'll end up in midlife crisis. And a man being hit by midlife crisis, you do not want that kind of man around you. So, Psalms 90, 12 says, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This means that time is so, so important. If he say, teach us to number our days, teach us to know our time, teach us to know our seasons, teach us, and the way we spend our time will show you the God you're paying homage to. Glory to God. It will show you. That is self-explanatory. Okay? It is so, it's self-explanatory. If it is, it could be a recreational thing, sports, whatever it is. Man, those things can consume time, and there is a way in which when you're doing godly things, time doesn't shift. Like sitting and listening to me. Ha, I think some of you are like, time is not shifting. But on, but on football, you're like, we're already here. Yeah, it's already half time. Yes, Joan preached for 45 minutes and you are just there nodding off. Yeah. But when it's football, you're like, what? Half time already? Already? Yeah. So the way you spend your time is so important. Okay. Let us spend time on God. Let us not turn the blessings at the end of that day. Just know one thing for sure. That idolatry will cause you, if you have it in your heart, it will cause you to stumble into iniquity. You don't use your time well, wisely. You put things, you do funny things during your time. Let me tell you something. It's just a matter, again, of time. You will fall into sin and you will leave the Lord. Biatandika mpola. Glory to God. Are we blessed? Keep those blessings, blessings, not the ultimate thing, to be worshipped.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.